That high enough, Phil? All right. Sometimes I don't get the mic exactly the way it should be, so. Kind of has to remind me. This morning I want to begin a journey through the book of Romans. Now I know you all probably heard messages through Romans, through the book of Romans, and over the years and what have you, but perhaps some of the things that I'm going to share throughout this particular series will be some different things, and give you some new insights into the gospel of Romans. I want to entitle this series "The Road to Freedom." I've showed you all this before, and I've had this for years. Ever since I was a teenager, this was given to me. The Roman Road of Salvation. So I became a Christian in 1972, a long time ago. So I've had this ever since. And I keep it in my Bible. It was given to me by my youth minister. Our youth minister taught us how to evangelize, how to talk to our friends and stuff about the Lord. And the first thing, it starts with this, is to ask me this. Which do you see? So I would show him this and say, which do you see? And many people would say, well, look at that. I've had some say, God is nowhere. Or, does it say, God is now here? Subtle difference there. And that would begin and elicit into some conversation. So anyway, this morning I want to begin a new series, A Journey Through the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, entitled The Road to Freedom, because I believe that's what it is. A question to keep in mind as we go through the Gospel of Romans, not the Gospel, the Epistle of Romans, is this: why is a person lost? Many people, we talk about those who are lost, and you tell a person, "Are you lost?" Anyone know? No, I'm not lost. I know where I'm at. What's that?
Are you asking the question?
Yeah. Why is a man, why is a person lost? But see, that's going the wrong way. That's often not talked about today. See, and I believe that that's part of the road to freedom. Remember Jesus said in the gospel, he said that the road to eternal life is what?
Narrow.
Is narrow. And few there be found, those be found on it. But the way to destruction is broad and long, and many there be found on it. And those who are found on it, you see, are lost. And the question that Paul is asking us to Romans is, why is a person lost? Again, people don't think it's questions like that nowadays. They think, what? You're weird. I'm not lost. I know where I'm at. I know where I'm going. They tell them, really? Are you sure about that? Because, see, in our text before us today, we have one of the brightest, to me, we have one of the brightest minds. One of the brightest minds that writes to the Christians at Rome, both Jew and Gentile Christians, the center of the affairs of the world at that time, much like it would be Washington, D.C. for us, the center of affairs, or Olympia, the center of affairs of our state. Paul is writing to them. They're at the center. Rome, the center of the Roman Empire. And Paul says here in Romans chapter 1, he says, I'm not ashamed. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And we're going to center upon that, because some people need to know this. For I am not ashamed. Now, you have to understand that in the Greek, and when Paul composed this, it tells us later at the end of Romans that Paul didn't write it down. He had a scribe. Tertius was the one who wrote it down. But Paul composed it. See? So in essence, Paul still wrote it. He composed it. He dictated it. But it's composed. But in the Greek, the first 17 verses of Romans 1 through 17, that is one. It doesn't show it in the English, in our Bibles, but in the Greek it does. Verses 1 through 17 is just one long sentence. Not several, but one sentence that Paul tells the church at Rome. How odd. And is that not a startling suggestion that towards the end of that, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. How odd and a startling suggestion would that be, that he, the apostle Paul, and others might have been ashamed of it. I think he says that because by the time Paul writes this, there were many who were ashamed of it. That's another concept we seem to have lost in our society today, is the concept of shame and what that means. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed. You see, Paul wrote this letter during his third missionary journey. He's in Corinth at the time. He's kind of on hiatus from his third missionary journey, his third and last one. He wrote this probably around 57 or 58 A.D. And as you look at the first chapter, Paul is writing to a church that he has never seen before. He's writing to a group of people, both Jews and Gentiles, that he has not met. He does not know them. He's never been to Rome. Never been there. Look what he says. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's writing to them in this way, to a group of people he does not know. But notice what he says. He calls them saints. He doesn't know them. He knows they're Christians. He knows it's the church at Rome. And he calls them saints. It's all part of the fact that Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Well, what he said exactly is the gospel. We know that the Greek word that is derived from, what it means is good news. Paul relates throughout these first 17 verses that we're going to deal with this morning that it is that gospel that gives meaning to life. That is what gives meaning to life. People want freedom today. They want liberty. If you're going to be on the road to freedom, you better be on the right road. And that's that narrow road. It's that road which gives life and can only give ultimate life, abundant life, eternal life. And that's what Paul is saying. Why he's not ashamed of? He's not ashamed of that. It is good news. Many people miss the real message of the gospel because they look or they view it for what it is not. Many people see the gospel and view it, the message of the gospel, as laws, and that it's a burden to them. Many people, the reason why they won't accept it and they don't see that gospel as good news is because they can't see beyond law and that it's a burden. They can't see beyond, if you will, that it's a bunch of rules and commandments. Don't do this, do that. Don't do this, do that. Better not be caught doing that. But you want to do this. And they see the gospel as wrapped up in that. Well, now we know that in the scriptures that there are some rules and commandments. There are things we need to obey, is there not? There are some don't do's and some do's. But that's not what all is encompassed in the gospel. And so many people get the idea that being a Christian, there's no fun in that. Well, I'm used to partying and going out and having a good time. If I become a Christian, I've got to quit all that. I can't do that anymore. Well, now there's true that there's some things that, yeah, when you become a Christian that you shouldn't do. And the scriptures talk about that. But I believe that being a Christian is having the most fun in the world. Why is that? Why should that be? Huh? Right. But we should have more fun, Christians should have more fun in the world because who we're connected to. Have you ever heard the old saying, and I can't and see if I can remember this exactly the way it goes. I've heard this from an old preacher friend. I think it was Brother Rondy Raymond, I think. But I have to remember if I can quote this right. I may get it wrong. Some people go around, Christians now, they go around like they were... I'm trying to remember how it goes now. Some Christians go around with a look on their face that like they've been baptized in sour cream and weaned on dill pickles. And I believe it was Rodney Raymond that where I heard that from. That's what some people do. They go around Christian now. They go around life and looking like they've been baptized in sour cream and winged on dill pickles. But we, of all people, as Christians, don't we have the most joyous thing in the world? We have in Christ? Because it's through Him that we have abundant life. But Tony was alluded to this morning during our class, and I think many people see Christians like that, and they portray themselves like that, when we should be show the joy that we have. You know that joy bubbling up in our souls that we sing about? That's what Paul is talking about. But there are many people out there in the world today, even in this 21st century. We're not going to talk about years past. We're talking about today. They see Christians, the church, and they see the gospel as man-made. Oh, it's just something that, you know, what we're reading here, what we're even reading in the letter of Paul to the Romans. Why, that's just something that these old fuddy-duddies back in the first century, what have you, it's just stuff that they made up. Made up so that we wouldn't have any fun anymore. So we wouldn't have a good life anymore. And they see it as that. Well, it's a man-made idea. This isn't really from God. Some guys a long time ago just wrote it and they just put it together, you know. Because they wanted people to follow it. They wanted people to believe it, but it's not really true. It's just their ideas. And that's the way many people see it. And why would they not see that today? From what is taught in many churches. Tony alluded to that this morning. That's what many people see. Because you see, if this is not from God, then it is all made up. Some people see the gospel as, quote, anti-intellectual. You know what I mean by that? By anti-intellectual? It's not worthy of one's intelligence. You really believe that? Not very intelligent, are you? But Paul said what it is. It is good news. Good news from God. In His Son. It is the fact that God wants to be reconciled to us. He wants fellowship with those He had created, to others, to His creation. God wants fellowship with mankind. And Paul lays it out. You see this in the Greek. This is one sentence. Not several as we find it in English, but one. And Paul goes on. And look what he said at the very beginning. Paul, a bondservant of Christ, or a slave. Now, some of you have the New International Version. What the New International Version calls it, it doesn't capture the word that is used there. The word that is used there, doulos, always meant a slave or a bond servant. And Paul says that that's what he is of Christ Jesus. Called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Now, how was Paul set apart from the gospel, contrary to the 12? Paul wasn't set apart like they were they? Jesus didn't Paul wasn't there initially with the 12 first, was he? Did Jesus call him first? No. What happened? He's on the road to Damascus to do what? To get letters so he can imprison Christians and cause them to death. Where was Paul when Stephen was martyred? What was he doing? He was holding the cloaks of those who were doing the stoning, wasn't he? Doesn't say that Paul helped stone Stephen. He was holding their cloaks. So he was watching it being done, and he was going along with it. And all of a sudden, he's on his way to Damascus. That, and who appears to him? Jesus does, doesn't he? And he changes Paul's life. Paul says, who is it? Who is it that I'm persecuting? Jesus says, it's me, the Lord, Jesus. He said, Paul, why are you kicking against the goads? You know what he meant by that? Jesus was saying, Paul, you got some things right now. You know, Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Studied under the great teacher Gamaliel, who the Jews thought was the greatest rabbi of all. Paul studied under him. Paul was zealous, he tells us in some of his other epistles. He was zealous for God. He thought he was doing the right thing. Jesus says, Paul, you're kicking against the goads. You think that following the law and doing these things, that you're following and honoring God. And Jesus was telling Paul, you got it wrong. But Paul, and then Paul says, well, what do you want me to do? Jesus says, you go ahead and go into Damascus. Go to a street called Straight. And there you will be told what to do. So who does Jesus call? Jesus calls Ananias, doesn't he? Ananias goes to street called Straight. First, Ananias doesn't want to go because he knows what Saul was doing. But then he listened to the Lord, didn't he? And he went to Paul. And Paul was told what to do there, wasn't he? Ananias prayed. Scales fell from Paul's eyes. He saw. What did Ananias say? Why tarriest thou now? Repent of your sins. What he was doing. Be immersed and wash away your sins. That's what he said to Paul, an apostle. That's what Paul means here. A bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle by Jesus himself, that he was set apart for that gospel. And he says it's promised beforehand through the prophets in the scriptures. And he goes on, he lists to the Romans, the church at Rome here, concerning his son, how he was born. See, Paul lays it out to him. You don't know me. I don't know you. But here is who I am. He identifies himself to the church at Rome because they don't know him. And he says, here I am. I am an apostle. Set apart for the gospel. And how do you know that? Because you don't know me. So he lays it out for him. And he tells him what that gospel means. He tells him, Jesus is the Messiah. I know that. You know that. He tells him, again, as Isaiah said, how he was despised and rejected of men. He says beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures they would know what it says in Isaiah. It was as if Paul is saying, remember what John 12 says? 42-43. Nevertheless, many of the rulers believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Paul is telling the church at Rome, though you don't know who I am, you've never seen me in that. That I am not looking for my approval. I'm not looking for man's approval. I have God's approval because I'm set apart for the gospel. That's why it goes back. He further goes on in verse 16 and says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not afraid to tell you what I believe. And what that gospel is, and that's what he's telling the church at Rome. He said, I have nothing to fear, I have nothing to hide from that. I'm not ashamed of it. It's not like something that I want to hide, that I don't want you to know about. Paul relates to them that he wants them to know right up front what he stands for. And who he is identified with. And that his identification is not only the fact that he's an apostle, but his identification is the fact that he is a bond slave of Christ. How many Christians today, how many of us today see ourselves as bond slaves? You know what that meant? Paul is saying, I'm no longer belong to myself. I belong to Christ. I am his property. Earlene was talking about this earlier this morning. And you see, and it goes to why some people will not accept the good news. It's because Jesus, we accept him. We take him as Lord. We become. See what Paul said earlier and later in some of his epistles? Or I would say earlier. He said, I've been bought with a price. What is that price? Christ. His blood. But when Paul said that, he said, I've been bought. That's why Paul says in not just in this epistle, but in others of his letters, says, I'm a bond slave of Christ Jesus. I am his property. I belong to him. When a person was immersed in Christ, when we were immersed in Christ so many years, some of us so many years ago, and we often sing that song, now I belong to Jesus. That's what that means. Now I belong to Jesus, not for just time alone, but for eternity. What that signifies, brothers and sisters, is that we become bond slaves of Christ. We become his property. And when we do, the ironic thing about that and the paradoxical thing about that is that we become free. How odd is that? You become a bond slave, you become property of someone, and you're free? People in our country and in the world, but many of our people in our country can't understand that. By becoming a slave, a bond slave, the property of someone else, you're free. But most people see freedom And it's what? Freedom means I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, and whatever I want. Whenever. That's what freedom is. And that's the way they see it. But Paul says the Roman road to freedom is through becoming a bond slave of Christ. And he says that's what he is. As an apostle. Set apart for the gospel of God. That's why he says, for I'm not ashamed. But see, just because Paul says that, then we think, well, Paul's an apostle, of course. But doesn't that go to the Christian as well? I believe the church, we've got to wake up. Even the church have got to wake up, and then that the fact that when they're a Christian, they no longer belong to themselves. That's why people have a hard time coming to Christ. Because they don't want to belong to anybody else. You've heard me say this, and I've heard this for years, and I still believe it's true. Either Jesus is Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. And that's what many people have a hard time about. Because what that means is giving self up. That's what Jesus said when he said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Daily, yes. Very important, Jeff. Daily. Dr. Strauss said this years ago, and I believe he's correct. Many people have a hard time with this, and they like to put it down and say, well, you know, that's just wrong thinking. That's what he said. Crosses were not meant to glorify. Crosses were not meant to be worn. Crosses were not meant to put up and to make things out of them that should not be. Crosses were made to die on. Is that what not Jesus did? I saw a thing for Easter Sunday, quote Easter Sunday, I don't like that term, but last week we call it Resurrection Sunday, but what many call Easter. I saw one on YouTube at one church back east somewhere, I kid you not, stage all lit up, and before they had the service, they darkened the room, put spotlights on, three crosses, huge thing. Huge things. Two crosses over here in blue. The one in the middle in red. And then with the band playing and the fog and the smoke and all that. What does that signify? Cross. It's what he died on. Not something to glorify. It's not something to make a big thing about. But that's what it has come down to. And I'm not saying all those things are wrong necessarily, but the way you look at it, see, a hard time with that. Because when Jesus calls a person, and this is why people have a hard time with it, and we're going to see this as we go through the book of Romans, because this is what Paul wants the church at Rome to know, and that's why he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's what people have a hard time with. It's that when Jesus calls a man, when Jesus calls a person, male or female, he calls them to come and die. Die to what? Die to self. To die to self. Now you see, in our day and age, in many circles today, if you accept Christ, you say, I accept him as my Lord and Savior. I'm going to be a bondservant. You're going to be what? I'm going to be a bondservant, bondslave of Christ. What kind of talk is that? That's strange. That's the way the gospel talks. But I've been bought with a price. I'm no longer my own. My property is his. But when you tell people that today, in many circles today, that marks you as one that's ill-informed, even bordering on mental illness. What? You talk to God? You hear that not too long ago? And the lady eventually apologized, and she eventually apologized, but do you think that she still doesn't believe that? I think, yeah, she was forced to apologize to our vice president and others when he said that he talked to God. Do we not talk to God? Know what prayer is? And said that was mental illness? Many believe that. Many believe that what we believe, it's mental illness. There's something wrong with us. But you see, Christ died to save undeserving people. What he says, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. Paul's saying, I was called to the Gentiles. I want you Jewish Christians in Rome to know that. Among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making requests that perhaps now at last by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you, finally. For I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established, more firmly grounded. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you, among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you, and I have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. And then he says, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And that destroys the lie of those who believe that God before eternity decided who was going to heaven and who was going to hell. For Paul says, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live by faith. The modern trend, you see, is to shy away from that. The modern trend is to shy away from talking about wrong. The modern trend is to shy away from talking about repentance, about changing one's life. That's why Paul says what he does. Nothing in the gospel, Paul says, causes him to be ashamed. So let us ask ourselves a question as we go through this series. Do we find the gospel a shame? Are we not ashamed of the gospel? Do we believe it is the power of salvation to everyone who believes? We sang the song, and we have sung it from time to time. Pass it on. Question is, what Paul says, do we pass it on? Are we passing it on? Is it difficult to do so? It shouldn't be. If we have a hard time telling others that we belong to Christ, no longer to ourselves, that indeed He is our Lord. If we have a difficult time with that, if that is hard for us, brothers and sisters, that shows that we can't say what Paul does. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." And why? Because it is the power of God. It is the power of salvation. People try to find a way around it. People want to say, when you're dead, you're dead. That's it. People want to say, well, when you die, you just wink out of existence. But if such is the case, all of mankind has no hope. It just ends in despair. But Paul wants the church at Rome, both Jews and Gentiles both, to know that he's not ashamed of it. Because he knows that ultimately it is only the power of God. That it is what can only give salvation. People want freedom. People want true liberty. The only way they're going to find that is go on the Roman road. That's what Paul says. And that is found in the gospel of Christ. So we take the name of Jesus with us. But when we do that and we take the name of Jesus with us, what that means is we're telling others, I no longer belong to myself. I belong to Christ. And I want you to know that. And you may think there's something wrong with me. You may think I'm mental or what. What have you. But I belong to Christ. And I'm awaiting His coming again. I'm awaiting that ultimate abundant life that can only be found in Him. It's time the church, see, gets on with this. We've gotten to, because we don't know how much time we have. I don't. Do you? None of us do. You could come back like that. Would we be ready? Others are not going to be ready. And that's why, we were talking about this earlier this morning, many people are going to mourn because they're going to see the Lord in all His glory coming. But coming not just in love, but also coming in wrath to deal out judgment. See? And people are going to mourn because, as some say, I've wasted all this time. Wasted all this time, and now what? He's not going to give people a second chance as much as they want him to. He's not going to do that. See? Powerful thing in Paul in the book of Romans. See? Much that people misunderstand. And people want to think, well, Romans is all about righteousness, justification by faith, and that, yes, that is in there. But the ultimate whole thing about Romans is Paul, for Paul is the gospel. Because that is where the power lies. And we have to realize that that's where the power lies, is in the gospel. Think of that as we stand. We're going to sing, "Take the Name of Jesus with you." Ha